Macular degeneration. What is it? How is it diagnosed? And how is it treated? You are listening to Face to Face on the Virginia Voice. And for the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean. With me is Dr. Byron Ladd of the Virginia Eye Institute in Richmond. Dr. Ladd specializes in retinal disorders and the medical therapy of macular and retinal disease. Dr. Ladd is here to talk about a new diagnostic technology they are using to detect macular degeneration. You will be interested. Dr. Ladd, let's start at the beginning. What is macular degeneration?
All right, Lou. Thanks for having me. Macular degeneration, as we refer to age-related macular degeneration, is the leading cause of blindness in Americans, and actually any of the elderly people worldwide. It starts off asymptomatic, so patients may have early signs of dry macular degeneration and be unaware that they have the condition. When we look at an eye clinically, the early signs of dry macular degeneration include yellowish deposits in the macula that are protein deposits that we refer to as drusen. And if you have enough drusen of a certain size, then you're classified as having dry macular degeneration. Other changes that we see are changes in the normal pigmentation of the retina, either increased pigment or decreased pigment in the retina, which is another indicator of macular degeneration. If you have dry macular degeneration, you are then at risk of developing the wet type, which is a more severe type of macular degeneration. And the wet type refers to an abnormal blood vessel which begins to grow underneath the retina that shouldn't be there. And these blood vessels tend to leak and bleed, and that's when people start to notice visual problems.
You mentioned that it usually comes on at a certain age. Is it age-related?
It is age-related, so it's more common as people get older. So with the aging population, we're seeing more and more of the age-related macular degeneration. But usually the onset is we'll see signs in 60-year-olds and later, sometimes as early as people in their 50s.
Is a group more at risk than any other group?
Women are at more risk. Caucasians are at more risk. Smoking is a risk factor. High blood pressure is a risk factor.
Now, naturally, I want to ask you about the diagnosis because this is what we are talking about during this interview. But are people likely to realize that something is wrong and that they need to see an ophthalmologist, or is it undetected in the early stages?
Right. So, unfortunately, when people begin to realize that they have change, they may have missed the opportunity to treat their disease earlier. So it's important to have an annual eye exam when you get into this age range to detect the early signs, because if you've been diagnosed with macular degeneration, even just the dry changes, we do recommend a vitamin supplement, which was proven in the National Eye Institute study, which was known as the Age-Related Eye Disease Study. They did a follow-up study called the Age-Related Eye Disease Study Number 2, so the AREDS 2 study, which showed additional benefit in an updated formulation on the vitamins. But the benefit of the vitamins is it slows the progression of the disease by approximately 30%.
Do not be surprised if I ask you again a little bit later in the interview about the treatment of it or what can be done to at least slow the development of it. We're here to talk about the diagnostic techniques. Certainly you would recommend a person of a certain age see an ophthalmologist once a year.
Sure, yes. Yeah. So at least once a year to have a dilated eye exam. It's very important to get the eyes dilated so we can have a good view of the retina. There are some tools out there where people will recommend it. Undilated photography, that's not what we recommend as the gold standard for examining the eye. But it's important to detect these early changes that I mentioned earlier, the drusen or the thinning areas of the retina, so that if you meet the criteria, then we recommend taking the vitamins. Now, the vitamins were not shown beneficial for everyone. You had to have some degree of change before we recommend the vitamins.
What is the latest diagnostic technique?
The latest tool that we wanted to inform everybody about is a new home monitoring device. It's called the 4C Home device. The goal is to replace the Amsler grid, which we've used in the past for people to monitor their vision. So the early change that somebody may recognize that they're developing the wet macular degeneration is either a dark spot in their vision or distortion in their vision. If you do not test one eye at a time, the other eye can compensate, and you can have significant changes without realizing it. So one importance of even the Amsler grid, which is this graph paper that people have heard about that they will check one eye at a time, is that it reminds you to check one eye at a time. So that's the first thing to do. Once you start noticing distortion or a dark spot in your vision, then you need to go see an ophthalmologist. But with this new technology, the study, which was again run by the National Eye Institute, it was part of the age-related eye disease study. They gave a certain percentage of the patients this monitoring device, and another percentage had the other half had the AMSR grid. And they wanted to determine if we could detect these changes before the patient was aware of it, or at least at better visual acuities. They drew the line at visual acuities of 20/60 or better. And then they, even in the studies, we looked at visions of 20/40 or better, which is an important visual cutoff for being able to drive and being independent. And so the AMSR grid was able to detect change 30% of the time with patients at a level of 20/40 or better. This newer technology, the 4C home device, was able to do that 95% of the time. So the data was so strong that the National Eye Institute stopped the study early because they wanted to make this device available to all the participants in the study.
Now, for those who do not know, and you tried to explain, an AMSR grid is just a bunch of squares in a grid. You focus on a dot in the center.
Right.
But
yes.
It's a piece of paper that you can have at home. Costs hardly anything. You download it from the internet. But now, what is the 4C home monitoring device?
Right.
What does it look like? What does it do?
Right. So the 4C home device is a self-contained device. It's portable. It sits on a desktop or tabletop. You just plug it into the wall. It comes with a mouse attached to it. And it essentially is like looking into a viewer. It's like looking into an old stereoscope. And essentially the test is that it flashes a line across your vision, and in that line there's a little bump. And with the mouse, you then click on where you saw the bump. And the test takes about 3 to 5 minutes. It flashes a series of these lines at different orientations and records where you're detecting the bump. At the end of that test, it automatically uploads that data, that test, to the central monitoring device. So the 4C home device has a built-in modem that hooks into a cellular service, so you don't have to have internet, you don't have to have a computer, and it will upload that information. And over time, the monitoring center establishes a baseline of your data, and then if it starts to see a trend where you're detecting distortion in a new area, it will send an alert to your eye doctor that says you need to get this patient in for an evaluation. And so the Virginia Eye Institute has partnered with Nodal Vision, which is the company who's providing the 4C home device, and we're trying to get the word out to our patients of the importance of this device.
The AMSR grid is a piece of paper, costs nothing. Is there a cost to the 4C device?
Sure. So there is a cost. Unfortunately, I find when I discuss it with my patients that that's the biggest obstacle. So currently, they lease the device for $250. And then the monthly monitoring fee is $60 a month, which is, you know, it's more than some people can afford, but it is the best device we have for monitoring macular degeneration as progression. So, you know, my patients that have already developed wet macular degeneration in one eye and they're very concerned about the other eye, they feel that it's priceless. I mean, that gives them that security between visits that they're monitoring their vision.
The example you gave is a perfect example. They already have macular degeneration in one eye. They're concerned about the other, so they're constantly monitoring it. But someone who has not had or did not know they've had macular degeneration might not see it's worth it just to have this unit sitting on their table and testing it every so often.
Right. So for patients that have been diagnosed with dry macular degeneration, they have a certain amount of change already in their maculas, a buildup of these drusen or atrophying of the pigment. Based on the level of change they have, their risk of progressing to wet macular degeneration is between 25 and 50% chance over 5 years. So there's still a significant risk. They still have good vision in both eyes, but the study did look at patients that have wet macular degeneration in only one eye and dry macular degeneration in both eyes, and it was shown significantly beneficial for all those groups.
So again, I hear you saying that for someone who already has macular degeneration in one eye, it's very important to keep the other eye checked.
Right. So if they had, you know, and it gets confusing when we talk about macular degeneration. Is it wet or is it dry? If you have dry macular degeneration in both eyes, there's a benefit to the screening tool. If you have already developed wet macular degeneration and been undergoing treatment in one eye, then it's probably even more important because you are at the highest risk of developing wet macular degeneration in your fellow eye.
I'm talking to Dr. Byron Ladd of the Virginia Eye Institute, and as you mentioned, the cost, I'm sure that everybody has in their mind, Is it covered by insurance?
It is not yet covered by insurance. The company is working hard with Medicare to get it covered by Medicare. We don't know when it will be covered by Medicare. We're hoping within the next 6 to 12 months, but we're unsure. I mean, it would be a significant expense for Medicare. I believe as a practitioner that in the long run, it will save money. We have good studies that show the earlier you detect wet macular degeneration, the fewer treatments they will need, and we can get into a discussion on the treatments for wet macular degeneration. But then also being able to preserve somebody's vision at a better level, you know, is very important. If you can keep somebody driving, you know, that's a much less expense for society to bear when somebody, you know, can't drive themselves.
Many of our listeners are vision impaired, but they are not blind.
Sure.
And so this is tremendously interesting. Probably in a word, can macular degeneration be cured?
We do not have any cures for macular degeneration. We have several excellent treatments that have been developed and have been approved over the last 8 years. So previously, we had some laser treatments. The laser treatments that were approved in like 2000 were able to stabilize somebody's vision about 60% of the time when they developed wet macular degeneration. And the ability to improve vision with that treatment was only about 10% of the time. Now we've developed pharmaceutical interventions, medicines that we are injecting into people's eyes on a monthly basis frequently, that are able to stabilize their vision 95% of the time. And 40% of the time, we will see visual improvement. And so that takes us back to the importance of early detection. If you can detect somebody with vision of maybe they're even asymptomatic with this condition, or you get them before they're 20/40, then 95% of those people we will be able to maintain at 20/40 vision with today's current treatments.
Many people who are listening are intensely interested in this and wonder about all the various techniques that have come about in just the last few years, the technology in the last few years. Some people may remember when a cataract operation was extremely complicated. It took a week or two to recover. Today it's what, 10 minutes?
Sure. It's much quicker now. Technology has advanced.
So what you're describing with lasers certainly could not have been available a few years ago.
Right. So the lasers, you know, the timeline of treatment for macular degeneration, the initial laser, all we did was cauterize this abnormal blood vessel that grew underneath the retina. And that was usually somebody lost vision, but in the long run, their vision was more stable. That was a very hard sell. Then we developed another laser, which was combined with a drug that would close these blood vessels without cauterizing them, without causing collateral damage to the healthy retina around these blood vessels. And that was a step forward. But now these newer pharmaceutical treatments, which are the injections, the monthly intravitreal or injections into the eye, it's a whole nother ballgame. We're able to see people's vision improve. We're able to tell them that we can stabilize their vision, that they have a very small risk of going blind with this condition at this point. And, you know, we were involved with the clinical trials early on before any of these were even approved. So we've been doing these treatments for even, you know, 10 years or so since early trials. And now we've got two more trials that we're starting to enroll in this summer for macular degeneration. One is another medicine for wet macular degeneration, and the second is actually a new treatment for dry macular degeneration. And so that will be the first medicine for dry macular degeneration that's gone into phase 3 clinical trials.
When you say injection into the eye, many people may say pain, pain. Is it a painful procedure?
It is not. Now, I have not had one myself, but I ask my patients how much discomfort they have from the injection. And on a scale of 10, most of them say it's about a 2. It's a very quick pressure feeling that they have.
The eye is numb.
The eye is numb to some extent. I mean, we numb it with some eye drops, and we give the injection through the white of the eye, which is not nearly as sensitive as the cornea or the front of the eye. So everybody knows who's had a scratch on the eye or something foreign in their eye. It's very painful. The white of the eye is not that sensitive.
looking to the future, what do you see for macular degeneration?
Well, I see treatments that just continue to get better. You know, I would expect in the next 5 years we will have treatments that will slow down dry macular degeneration. We will have drug delivery that allows for long sustained release of these drugs that we're using. So instead of needing a monthly injection, patients may receive an implant which may last 6 months, a year, 3 years, so that they are getting this treatment consistently without monthly interventions. This ability to detect wet macular degeneration sooner is a big game changer in being able to maintain good vision for our patients. So that's an advancement. Further down the road, you know, the ability to reverse damage that's been done. You know, stem cell research is being done. There's advances in stem cell research, but that's still a ways off.
It sounds promising, and the technology is evolving almost daily. I don't know if in your specific field, but it seems to be evolving rapidly.
It feels it's evolved very rapidly, and I started my practice here about 12 years ago, and it's amazing the advances just in those 12 years and how much they've benefited the patients.
You mentioned implants. What is, when you say implant, what are the range of implants?
Right. So an implant, there are current implants in ophthalmology that we use for different conditions. There's steroid implants that are available. It's essentially a very tiny pellet tablet of a drug that's usually in some kind of plastic device that we can insert into the eye. Or there are other implants, which is essentially a little pellet, almost like the shape of a piece of rice that we can inject in the eye. So there's different forms of implantable devices.
It may be too soon to talk about a telescope that could be implanted in the eye, a miniature type
right.
thing. Maybe too early, but you might want to mention what it is.
Yeah, so in the last year, the telescope, which was approved by the FDA as a low-vision device, is available. It is for patients who have severe vision loss that would be considered legally blind, probably in the 2400 to count fingers range, who are dependent on their daily activities with very strong magnifiers or low vision devices. This gives the opportunity to implant a telescope in the eye during cataract surgery. So the patients have to have not had cataract surgery in the eye that they're considering the device. And then there's a lot of visual rehabilitation and working with these patients so that they maximize their use of the device.
Certainly our listeners who have been following us right through this interview want to retain what vision they have. They don't want it to get worse.
Sure.
And you're offering some hope here with a new diagnostic tool.
Right. That can detect the change so that we can stabilize it. And then again, the importance of the vitamins that we recommend. It's now known as the AREDS2, which I'll spell it. It's AREDS, which stands for Age-Related Eye Disease Study, the second formula that's been shown to slow down the progression of macular degeneration by 30%. So right now that's our biggest preventive measure for dry macular degeneration.
Of course, the main reason you are here, Dr. Ladd, is to talk about the 4C home monitoring device. And 4C is spelled F-O-R-E-S-E-E, looking ahead, the 4C monitoring device.
And I hope the device gets a lot of interest for this home monitoring device. And I will mention again, anybody who has been diagnosed with dry macular degeneration, their doctor has probably recommended the vitamins for them. That is the population of people that are also candidates for this home monitoring device.
How would people follow up on this to get, if they're more curious about what you have been talking about the 4C home monitoring device,
right.
How can they get more information?
We have information up on our website, the Virginia Eye Institute, which is vaeye.com, so they can go there. There's also the website by the company, which is 4chome.com, and then if they see any of our eye doctors, all the eye doctors at the Virginia Eye Institute are watching for patients that may benefit from this technology.
Dr. Byron Ladd is with the Virginia Eye Institute in Richmond. He specializes in retinal disorders and the medical therapy of macular and retinal diseases. You're listening to Face to Face on the Virginia Voice. And for the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean.